Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. All right. Thanks for listening to Hour 1 of Around the House with Eric G. Let's go to Hour number 2. For more information, head to aroundthehouseonline.com and make sure you like and follow us on Facebook as well. Now, let's get to the show.
Now we just gotta get you on the radio. Yeah, you gotta get on.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, hour number 2. Thanks for joining us. You know, it's been a crazy week, and we talked about it last hour, a bunch of stuff about Design and Construction Week. And I'm still reeling after, even a week later, it's been like catching up, because what am I doing next week?
Traveling.
Yeah, a couple days, heading to Boston. So if you're in the Boston area, make sure you head over to the Lumber Building Materials Expo for the National Northeastern Retail Lumber Association. So I'm going to be speaking all next week at the Heinz Convention Center in Boston. So head over to the LBM Expo. This is where about 13 states of the people come over and hang out, and we talk building construction. A lot of my same speaking crew that we had last week with last weekend, I guess, you know. The shows in Vegas are always during the week, so always kind of messes with you. But that group, most of us are over in Boston speaking again this year. And so we'll be talking about different stuff. If you're a building contractor or anything else, pop in, learn about some of the latest weatherproofing techniques. I'm going to be talking kitchen to bath. I'm also going to be talking about kind of going up against Amazon. And if you're a lumber dealer, how do you go up against that? And then we'll be talking about some best practices for kitchen to bath as well. So come see me in Boston.
This is something that, unlike the International Builders Show, which you just got back from, which is more of a closed event to people in the industry, this is open to the public. Anyone can come and visit you.
This one, much more so than there.
Okay.
You still got to get a ticket to get in.
Yeah.
But you can come in and get in there. It's not a full-on home show. But if you come in is kind of the trades, you can get in there.
Okay.
So if you're just going to be in there kicking tires, a little harder, but you're still, thing is, these things sell out quickly. So make sure you get your tickets. So
if you want to go, it's something you might want to jump on as soon as you can.
As soon as you can, because the show's in just a few days.
I was going to say, if the show is super close, you might be hard pressed to find a ticket.
You might not get into that one. So it'll be a great time, and we have a lot of stuff going on with this one. So it'll be a lot of fun. Well, I wanted to talk about this hour. The Art of Demolition. Sounds like a new band I'm going to create.
Right? Yeah, it sounds like a nice hard rock, metal band.
It's my new metal band, yeah. So here's the thing. You know, we've all watched on Home and Garden TV, DIY Network, any of those drama-filled shows.
Uh-huh.
Not going to call out too many people, but you all have them in your, you know, demo day. And they get the big 12-pound sledge, and they're swinging blindly at walls. That is so not how you want to do demo day.
Because you don't know what's behind that wall.
Oh my gosh. You know, here's the thing. If you're tearing the house down, that's not even the right way to do it.
Yeah.
So let's dial it back a little bit. And I wanted to kind of break this down into a couple different things. Let's say that you want to, in this segment, let's say you wanted to open a wall up or take a wall out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to create a little bit more of a great room. So the first thing I want you to do, before you even start popping things open, is make sure that's not a load-bearing wall. Make sure that that's not holding the second floor up, that it's not holding the trusses up. And if you've got a home built in like in the 50s before and you don't have trusses up there, even if you don't think it's load-bearing, there's probably a little bit of load on that. Because those things are that roof is hand-stick built. So there could be some small load there. So you need to figure out if you need to put a beam in or not to hold things up. So you don't, taco the house.
So it doesn't come falling down. So, but how can you tell? So what is the...
You know, here's the thing. The obvious stuff is, and I'm going to say it's worth a few hundred bucks or even $1,000 to have a structural engineer come out and take a look at it. Second of all, if you're removing or changing a load-bearing wall, I don't care where you live in the country, that is, you are knee-deep in building permit land. So you're going to need this anyway. So what I would do is I would get your structural engineer to come out, take a look at it, and verify if that's a load-bearing wall or not. If it's load-bearing, not a big deal. You might have to put some footings in, you might have to carry that load up, and you might have to put a beam in. And so what happens is maybe you've got second floor that's holding up, maybe, more importantly, that's holding up your roof system up there. And maybe it'll last for a while, maybe it'll start bowing, maybe you get some snow on it and the roof caves in. Make sure you've got that load taken care of and you follow those directions of what the structural engineer says.
So if it's not load bearing, I can just grab the sledgehammer, right?
No.
What?
What I want you to do, first off, do your lead and asbestos testing per your local code. Make sure you do that. Take a minute, do it right. Next off, I want you to pull the drywall off. After you've got all this stuff, I want to see what's inside that. Maybe you've got a heating air conditioning duct. Maybe you've got plumbing. Maybe you have electrical. So I want you to go through with a razor knife or take a small hammer, punch a little hole in it.
Just so that you can see behind.
See behind it. But anywhere that you're going to cut off, so like if that drywall goes to the ceiling and you're going to take it all the way to the ceiling, run a razor knife on all those corner joints because you've got tape holding it up there. Why destroy the ceiling if you don't have to?
True. Yeah.
So cut that tape, cut the paint, cut that around there. Anywhere that there's caulking, that kind of stuff. You know, first off, remove the base moldings, get that off there. And then what I want you to do is I want you to hit that with a hammer in between the joists lightly. So in case you've got a plastic plumbing line or something back there, you don't break it. Take your time. Well, with drywall, it's fastened. You know, it's just gypsum board with paper on it. Mm-hmm. It's not that durable. Surprisingly, how shockingly not it is. But what I want you to do is create a small hole and then you're going to pull it off the wall by pieces. If you try to push it, now you're fighting it. You're going to use 10 times more energy trying to bash it in than it is pulling off. And you can sometimes get some big pieces on there. Now, if they glued it or drywall sealed it, where they glued it to the studs, which is a cool 70s trick, and now they've got sealants that help make things quieter, but it makes it harder to pull off. But you're going to pull that off. Now you can see what's behind it. Now, when in doubt, turn the power and the water off to that whole area. If you've got plastic pipe in the house, it's like CPVC, I'd turn the water off before you even get started. Turn it off, turn the power off to that area. That way, if you're getting in there, you're not catching any bad wiring, any knob and tube wiring. When in doubt, turn those two things off so you're looking good.
Trust me, better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
This you is got where such it gets a expensive. Bigger project on your hands if you don't take a look at that and see what's behind that wall.
You hit a water line and now you've got, you know, gallons a minute running all over your hardwood
floors.
And
you're racing to find the shutoff switch.
And you don't know where the shutoff is and you don't know where your key is to turn the water off. Be ready for that.
Because next thing you know, you're going to end up either having, I mean, what do you do? I understand if you're like a renter like I am, you call the homeowner. But if you're the homeowner, what are you going to do?
You better know where this stuff is. Have it done beforehand. So then you're going to pull that off and you get rid of it, you know, legally. If it's older drywall, you better have had that lead and asbestos test on it because they have to have that to be able to even turn it in. So remove the drywall that way. Now you can get in there and see what you got. You can verify again that that is what it's doing. And if you don't have any electrical in it, which you're almost always going to have electrical in it, you might have plumbing, heating, air conditioning, gas. Now you can deal with it. But this is where you get your reciprocating Sawzall basically and get in there with your Sawzall and cut this loose. But here's one tip before we go out to break that I want to give you. Watch out for nails. Make sure you've got a clean job site. I wear boots, my Keen utility boots, and have it where I can step on a nail and not skewer myself. Most people don't. So make sure that you're pulling those nails. Every board that comes out, pull or cut those nails off. And make sure when you buy a Sawzall blade, you get one that's a carbide one that cuts through nails, bolts, anything else, you can cut through that. But then you can start deconstructing that wall and getting rid of the materials. But a clean job site is going to always be a safe job site. So make sure that you've got that super dialed in and you're ready to go. Because if you can keep it clean, chance of getting hurt is really small. You're not tripping on stuff. So get it dialed in. Now you've got the wall removed so you can keep going. And then the other thing that we didn't talk about is make sure you put up dust protection. Or you've got some kind of dust filter in there. They make those zip walls where you tape it off and you control dust. Drywall dust goes everywhere. So just putting up a little bit of plastic doesn't cover it. Cover those heating vents. Do all that stuff early so it stays out of the other rooms. If you're doing the whole house, who cares? But if you want it in your bedroom, the easiest way is to make sure that heating and air conditioning system is on and it's going to go through most of your filters. We come back, I want to talk about the art of demolition and how to take down other things around your house. We'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns.
And Satchel from Steel Panther, and you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm producer Dane Vodder.
You got it, buddy. Thanks for being in here like you are every single week. We couldn't do the show without you, man.
Thank you, buddy.
So here's the thing. We're talking about the art of demolition, and I want to give an electrical tip here before we dive into this, because this is one of those things that you can create a big set of problems if you're not careful, because I want to talk about kitchens. Because kitchens are a big project that people want to take on as a DIY.
Absolutely. I mean, and an updated kitchen looks gorgeous in comparison to something that was made 20 years ago.
It does. And electrical 20 years has changed so much for kitchen and bath and codes. Now, here's the thing. With electrical and kitchens, you need to go back and really get dialed in what you're going to do and have a plan before you get into demo. Because you're going to come up with a lighting plan. So many times, if you're doing a 30-year-old kitchen, you've got lights and outlets that are on the same switches. You can't do that in international building code days. So most, if not anywhere in the U.S., they're not going to let you have those lights and circuits all mixed and intermingled. So you're going to need to have a switch for a circuit for your switch lights. You have an outlet. So you're going to have GFCI breakers or even the new arc fault, depending on what panel you have. But more importantly, what I want you to think about, though, is that your dishwasher has to be on its own circuit. If you have a range, any of these microwaves, they all have to be individual circuit. Okay. So any kitchen appliance that is a built-in style thing, like a garbage disposal or even a built-in microwave, have to have their own circuit. Your refrigerator's on its own circuit. So you might, in a kitchen, need 3, 4, or under counter lighting, 5, 6 new circuits. So plan ahead. Before you tear that out, make sure that you have enough electrical room in your panel for new outlets and new breakers for your new circuits, because otherwise you're going to add another $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 to your project when they have to come out and put a bigger panel in because you can't get those circuits.
Then you got to rewire everything into that new panel too.
Yeah. So there's a whole other project within that. So here's the thing. Have your kitchen plan before you start demo. Have that kitchen plan 100% done. Have your cabinets figured out. If you need to do some spot demo to make sure that this wall can move or whatever, great. But if you're doing that kitchen remodel, have that kitchen plan figured out. Cabinets are on order. You know when they're going to be there. Preferably, if you're doing a kitchen remodel yourself and you're planning this out, I want those cabinets sitting in your garage before you do demo. I want them shown up, ready to go. They're checked in. Nothing's damaged. All the parts are here. You're ready to go.
Why?
Because you're waiting for weeks to get new parts.
Okay.
And I've had where a cabinet truck.
And just the whole project goes on hold for weeks.
I saw a truck full of cabinets get flipped over in the interstate. That was your kitchen. You're waiting another 6 to 8 weeks to get cabinets and you just demoed your kitchen. So now instead of that 6 to 8 week project, you just made it a 12 to 16 week project because you're waiting for them to make you new cabinets again.
And all, and the fact of the matter is, like, yes, your cabinet choices are important. But in the whole scheme of a kitchen remodel, you don't want to be waiting 6 to 8 weeks because of your cabinets.
Yep, because you just waited. Make sure they're there. They're all ready to go. You're good to go. So then I want you to go in. You're going to go in. And of course, like every other project, I'm going to tell you, do your lead and asbestos testing before you demo. Make sure you turn off all your water. Make sure you turn off all your electrical. Make sure you are ready to go with this, because you need to know where that stuff's turned off. Bring in your lights. Tent off, dust off, get everything so you can make sure you don't have that dust and dirt going to the rest of the house. All that protection stuff, if you're keeping the floors, put down ram board or a product down to make sure that you've got those things protected. If not, make sure that you're treating them correctly and disposing them correctly. Now, when you go in there, again, this is not Sledgehammerville. Put the sledgehammer away. You're going to go in there, take all the appliances out, unbolt all the basic stuff, get the refrigerator out of there. If you're keeping the fridge, move it to another room. You know, take all the appliances and the big stuff out of there. This, of course, is after you've emptied everything out of that room.
Oh, yeah.
So cabinets are clean, everything else.
You want to give yourself as much space as possible.
Correct. And so now it comes down to, depending on what you've got going on, you know, if you're going to be taking countertops and cabinets out of there, and you're not doing a bunch of drywall, you better run a razor knife around everything that's painted in place, because you're going to tear up the drywall when that comes off. So remove all your trims, get that stuff out of there. And then what I do is I make sure my sink's disconnected, my countertop comes off. Now, that might be where you have to get a sledgehammer in there and knock out the tile, or you've got to try to remove some old, you know, laminates or Corian or granite tile. And get that hauled out of there. But as you take stuff out, get it out of the space, haul it off to the dumpster that it's going in. Make sure that you're doing it correctly and get that out of there. You want to work in a clean environment, and then just keep deconstructing. You're going to basically be taking that apart in the order that it went in. Cabinets come out, and then you can work on taking light fixtures down, getting the tile off the backsplash, all that other stuff. Get that stuff out of there and just keep deconstructing it. Now, once you get it cleaned up, now you can go on and do a really good clean and figure out what drywall patches you got to do and kind of make sense of that. But to be honest, now you're going to be able to let your plumbers and electricians get in there and do what they need to do. That'll be the next step in that process. But making sure that you've got everything in there cleaned up, cleaned out, that's the key to all of this. And you want to make sure that you've got all that stuff. But deconstructing is not taking a sledgehammer in there. You're going to come in and maybe the cabinets are screwed together. Maybe they're nailed together. Maybe you've got a laminate countertop you need to get in there with a Sawzall and cut into pieces to get out. Make sure you've got the right carbide blade. You're wearing those safety goggles, glasses, dust protection, and make sure you got a fan or something that's getting you fresh air, that you're getting it outside. And disconnect all your plumbing and electrical things before you go tear it off. That way you're not tearing up plumbing, tearing up electrical, and you got a heck of a mess. Kitchens can be fun, but to get them apart, they're a ton of work. And make sure that you've got it done correctly. And if you're going to be donating stuff, if it's particle board cabinets, probably can't donate them. Most places won't take them.
Yeah.
But if you've got good plywood ones, take them apart nice, and you'll have a project that at least you can help somebody else with one of those things. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about how to demo a bathroom. We'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns.
The metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G.
Raise your fist, make your stand for family and friends. All the fields, if you're gonna take on the world, fight.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement. each and every weekend. This is your new home improvement source. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Make sure you join us on Facebook, Round the House with Eric G. And like and follow us over there for all of you listeners across the Midwest and the East Coast now. Thanks for joining us now out there. We really appreciate it. Now, the one fun part with all this, make sure you go head over to our website, roundthehouseonline.com. That is where you'll find all my new videos I'm doing. We've got a lot of new stuff coming up. So stay tuned to that. And of course, you can always check me out on Twitter and Instagram, all that kind of stuff. Just look for Around the House with Eric G over there. Well, we've been talking about the art of demolition. Now, the art of demolition is something that if you're going to dive into a project, this is where you can make expensive mistakes by just swinging a hammer around one too many places. And that's something you just got to be a little bit careful with. Now, we've talked about the last couple segments. If you go back, we're talking about how to take down a kitchen and, of course, how to take down that wall or load-bearing wall. Now, this one here is one that people dive into that I've seen. Oh, man. This can be literally diving into because you create that big of a deep pool. How to demo that bath. You know, and again, I'm gonna go back and get on my soapbox, make sure that you've got your protection down for the rest of the room because you're going to have to haul this stuff out. So make sure you've got carpet protection down and everything else. But first, get the lead asbestos testing done. Make sure you don't have that, lead paint around everywhere, the asbestos floors, any of that other stuff. Make sure you're good there. But first off, after you've done that, you know that you can legally get rid of the stuff in your landfill. Figure out what your plan is. Have that plan again completely knocked out. What's staying? What's going? Are you keeping the bathtub? Great. No problem. Keeping the shower, not messing with it. Then go through and protect it. You can do stuff to protect that by putting down. There's a product called Ramboard you can get. It's like a thick, heavy cardboard that doesn't compress. That'll keep things from bouncing off. You can protect the hallway floors with that stuff. There's carpet protectors. So just make sure you got all that stuff done. Then figure out your dust control. What are you going to do?
How are you going to mitigate it?
Yeah. That bath fan, you don't want to go sending it all this dust down there if you're tearing out tile and drywall.
It's going to overload that fan.
Oh, you're going to make a mess. So don't ruin your fan by doing that. That's designed for getting moist air outside. So not drywall dust and tile dust. So be careful with that. But more importantly, spend some time, get that figured out. So you dive into demo, you're going to gut it, take it down to the studs. You're going to move stuff around. Awesome. Turn the water and power off. Get your auxiliary lighting in so you can see. Make sure you've got a dumpster to put stuff in or a place that you're going to be putting the stuff because you're going to create a lot of stuff. So I would go in there. I would probably start with the vanity because it's big and it's in your way and it's usually close to the door someplace. So go in there, take that out. Make sure you take the faucet off. You can take the whole sink faucet vanity top off in one piece if you're dumping it.
If you have no plans to keep it, yeah.
Just take it off, get it out there. Once it's off, it's easier to deal with anyway. Then you can take, if it's a steel sink and you can recycle materials, figure that out, donate it if it's good. If you've recently replaced it, get it out of there. Then you can undo the cabinet, get that out of there. Now you're going to have the rough plumbing through the walls. So make sure you do that. Toilet, be careful. There's a lot of water inside that. You can cheat and use a shop vac and suck the water out of the inside of it. Just make sure you've cleaned the shop vac out before you do it so you don't have a big muddy mess on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
And make sure you've got the right filter in there because some filters you want to put in this, you want to take out your super high performance filter and put in a regular one or just put the little screen over the top. Follow your instructions on your shop vac before you do that. Get the toilet out of there and get that hauled out to the dumpster. And if your toilet's over 10 years old, unless you're trying to keep some seafoam green or pink or orange or salmon,
which is all cosmetic.
Yeah, get rid of it and put a new one in. It's going to work for a better toilet.
The technology on toilets, by the way, over the last 10, 15 years, it's amazing what a new toilet feels. Even just sitting on a new toilet, one of the newer toilets, it's just
comfortable. They work better. Just, yeah, get the right toilet. So get in there. Then you can start, once you've got that out of the way, especially if you're in a hall bathroom where you're like, you got the vanity on the right or left side, you got the toilet next to it, then you got the tub shower at the end of it. Mm-hmm. Then you couldn't go in there and start doing that. Be super careful if you've got a shower door. I have scars on my wrists from where I've taken shower doors out and been carrying them and thought that, oh, they're great, even with gloves on. And then I break them as I carry them. And you got those little tiny pieces of glass, that's safety glass. Get it hauled out of there. Be careful with it and make sure you do that. And then you're taking the tub out. Now you can get in there. If you got a cast iron tub, you can put a heavy tarp over it and break it up with a hammer.
Okay.
Cast iron tubs break. Not a bad way to haul it out in smaller pieces. If you can unbolt it, great. If you can use a Sawzall and cut a plastic one or a fiberglass one out, great. Make sure you've got eye protection. Make sure you got dust protection. None of that stuff you want to be you know, you want to be working with as far as breathing it in. So make sure you've got all those protections and you're going to be a lot better off. Once you get that done, just get a super good clean, get all the glues and mastics and stuff off and get it out of there. That flooring is probably going to be about the last thing you take up. And that could be a bear. If it's tile, you might have to get a roto hammer or whatever and chip it out of there, get a little chipper and chip it out. But maybe it'll be good and just pry right up. But those are things you got to be really careful with. And again, you're still thinking about dust control. How am I going to control the dust while you're moving in and out? And while, quite frankly, you're probably walking a short country mile to get out there to get out to the dumpster to get that stuff out of there. That's a big thing. Thinking about how you keep that job site clean, and even more important, how you keep it safe in there. Because you've got metal, you got glass, you got ceramics maybe, you got a lot of different things. Make sure you think about that process, and how that demolition is going to go, and at where it's going. And I hope you got to go in a dumpster or something, because cleaning that thing up twice is
not fun. You don't want to put that somewhere else to clean it up again. You're just making more of a mess.
Maybe it's going in the back of the old farm truck you got. You're just going to throw it in the back of that thing and head down to the landfill. Great. Make sure you got all your paperwork done. You're good to go. Those are some of those keys to get that in. And then going backwards, you're going to clean up any drywall repairs or whatever else. First thing I'd start working about would be making sure that your plumbing electrical is roughed in correctly, and then start getting that shower done. Whether it's a tub shower or shower, make sure you got those things going after first. That's the longest part of the process.
Why?
So, well, if you're doing a tile shower, you can spend a couple weeks in there with the time you get your trades in there.
Okay.
So if you got the plumber coming in, they rip out everything out, they tear the whole thing out, it's down to the studs. Well, they're going to come in. If it's a shower, they're going to come in and do, it's a tiled shower, 100% tiled shower. They got to come in, put up your membranes and your wall systems and stuff, seal it off. They're going to spend a couple days getting that dialed in. Well, then now you're going to wait a day, because they're going to most likely in many areas want to do a water test to make sure that thing's not leaking. So you're going to fill up so much in that shower pan to make sure that there's no drips. So you might wait a half a day for an inspection.
And better to do that first instead of getting flooring in and then finding a drip or something like that.
Exactly. Now, one thing I want you to make sure on when you're doing this project, and again, if you're doing a full complete bathroom gut, get your building permits. Make sure, though, that area was permitted, and we'll talk about this later. Make sure, it's a good tip for next segment. We're going to talk about this. Make sure that area is a legal permitted place to be actually doing that remodel in. Sometimes you can have areas in your home that were put in 10, 20, 40 years ago that they just did. Maybe they converted an attic space. I had this happen in 2015, 16 here in Portland. They went to go do a remodel, got the permit, went up there, got a demo done, and the inspector shows up and goes, oh, nobody pulled the permit on the second floor.
Is this basically saying that it's a non-permitted livable space?
Correct. Right? So okay. They had a no permit, so they got caught.
Because an attic's not looked at as a livable space.
Well, this was an attic at the time that was a storage attic from the 20s. Got converted into two bedrooms, two baths.
Yep.
They got burned. They thought that was a permitted space. They paid for it to be a permitted space. Now they had to turn around and spend $100,000 because when they bought the house, they thought it was permitted. It was on the tax rolls as being a livable space. But the building department didn't have plans for it. So the building department called that house 900 square feet and the tax people called it 1,800 square feet because they thought that place was actually a permitted place that was legal. Come to find out, the building department went, nope. So they had to spend $120,000 in 2013 prices, 2016 prices, to get that converted legally into a permitted space where they could actually do that bathroom model that had already started.
Well, yeah, because that whole upper area. Wow. Okay. So basically, they didn't communicate. Whoever did the original remodel didn't communicate to the right people, the building department.
Permit. Yeah, they didn't pull a permit. They just did it. They started to pull the process and got out of it. And then when you went to go do your other one, you're in trouble. So then they pulled the permit, did it right, and got nailed in the middle of it. So do your research. Is that a spot? Is that a basement? Is it a second story addition? Is it a bump out? Did you have a permitted space in there? Do your research before you pick up that hammer, because it might be better to leave it alone. Or when you do your build out, you're going to have to know that you're going to have to pull permits and get that up to this year's code. That's going to be a 2020 thing. We come back and I want to talk a little bit more about the art of demo just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Botter. Man, I'm digging this music. You went back and found some new tunes for us.
I even have a couple of songs or bands that I played in. So
there we go.
A little bit different on this one. A little bit of some bands from the history of Eric G.
Little peek behind the curtain, little history lesson with Eric G.
Yeah, good stuff. So thanks to everybody out to supporting us with their music out there, and we love to support you guys.
We're hoping to see one of them this summer. I know. We've been digging on some of their music. It's a family group, but they're coming to the Pacific Northwest. So
yeah, they're going to be coming in. Of course, Farewell Angelina.
Yeah,
those ladies will be back in town. We'll have a good time with them. That'll be a fun time. So we're going to be doing a lot. Hey, one thing I want to talk about, because we talked about in hour one about Design and Construction Week. I had such a fun time seeing all the industry professionals out there. Got to spend some time with Skip and Allison Bedell from Catch a Contractor.
Great friends of the show.
And of course, you can see them now. They're on the Fox and Friends morning show as the home improvement experts there. And then, geez, Tools in Action. I saw Tool Pig. All these different YouTube guys out there that are just so awesome. All those people were out, and it was great to see all of them. I can't mention them all in here because we'd make a whole show out of it, but it was good to see all my different friends out there in the industry and have a good time with them. Well, one thing I want to talk about in this last segment is how to remove a deck. If you're taking down that deck for springtime because you're going to have that new deck, again, let's dive into this. Not so much a lead paint issue because most of the time it's just a stain, but not a bad idea to test it real quick. Make sure you got a new plan for the new deck. Make sure that if you've got a high door, so let's say this is a 10-foot deck off the ground, make sure that you have closed off that doorway permanently, semi-permanently, until you have the new deck built. Close it off. The last thing you want is somebody, if you're taking down that big deck in the backyard, leaving the door so somebody pops it open and walks out and puts a step out there another.
They're looking at their phone. They don't realize that there's not a deck there right now.
Yeah, that doesn't exist. So tape it off, caution tape, lock it, make sure that you can't do anything. I mean, if you have to put some tape around the outside of it to keep it so you can't slide the door open or you can't do something, make sure you have it blocked. Put a 2x4 across it on the inside and fasten it to the wall so you physically can't work out there. Okay, you'll have a drywall patch. Fix it later. You'll have a couple screw holes, but make sure that you have a fair warning that you can't come out that. Now, this is where it gets a little interesting because depending on what kind of deck it is, if it's just laying down a couple feet off the ground, no big deal. Get out there with your sawzall and start cutting up into pieces and haul it off. If it's a higher deck, this is where it gets a little more interesting. Now you got to take it down. So you're going to take the railing down. Now, if you get above 8 feet, follow your OSHA laws, because if you're up more than 8 feet off the ground up there, you have no railings, you might need fall protection, tie off, be safe. But take it down in sections that are manageable and make sure you're taking it to a place to dispose of it. I wouldn't go out and throw in the burn pile because you got a bunch of chemicals on this stuff. Yep. It's pressure treated. It's got finishes on it. No, just take the landfill, let them recycle it, do whatever they do with that stuff, but make sure you're good to go. But start taking it down slowly. And if you've got windows and stuff, maybe there's windows around it, put some plywood over the top of those. Make sure you're not busting stuff up and breaking stuff, but cut it down in sections. Your sawzall will be your friend. And then you can put it back together. But have that plan put together 100% how you want it. That way, you can put it back together easily. And you know what you're keeping and what you're getting rid of. If it's rotten, get rid of it. Don't ever reuse it. I had a guy tell me, I'm just going to flip them over because the top side's rotten on these framing members. I'm just going to flop it over and use the other side.
Because that side's not rotten?
Not rotten? Yeah. Awesome.
No, the whole piece of wood's rotten.
Yeah. If it's rotten on one side, you're not stopping it.
No.
Just change it out and start over. So that's one of the big tips that I want to see out there is use the right materials. Don't use regular white wood framing lumber for your deck. Get the right weatherproof materials. Use composites when you can. And if not, use a good pressure treated that's meant for your area that's going to withstand it. Now, if you want to be able to do that, who wants to tear it down in 5 years because you built it wrong again? I've seen too many times people save a couple $100 and now they're going to be replacing it every 4 or 5 years instead of every 20. So that's the key right there. So be safe tearing it down. Use the right protection, eyeglasses, ear protection, dust masks, all those things. And use the right tools for the job. If you got to go rent them, get them. But hey, if you got to buy a new tool, it's a fun part of the project.
It's a new toy.
A new toy. So let's put that toy back in the toolbox so you can use it next time. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Votter.
And you've been listening
to Around the House.
House by Eric G. is produced by Design by Eric G. in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by Envision Networks. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019. Designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all the shows at AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of Around the House with Eric G. We really appreciate it. Like and follow us on Facebook. That's Around the House with Eric G. And make sure you listen to the podcast and subscribe, follow, comment, and share to all your friends. We'd really appreciate it. For more information, head to AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Make sure and follow our podcast Shorts, which is our midweek special on Wednesdays, and Around the Toolbox for the trades on Thursdays. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.